invite you this morning to take your Bible with me and open 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. If you were with us on New Year's Eve, you heard me share that night with you what I believe should be a motto or a mantra for our church. I think there are several things that are important to us as a congregation that we keep at the forefront of our minds. If we're going to effectively minister in the days in which God has called us to hear, there are three basic statements that we shared on that evening, and I want to remind you of them again this morning before we get into 2 Timothy chapter 3. We said that from 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 that God would have us as a congregation to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as a congregation, we realize that all of us are to be growing in His grace. We then turn to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7 and realize that we are to be established in the faith or grounded in His truth. As we are growing in His grace and grounded in His truth, God would have us then to go into the world in love and share with this world the good news of the gospel, that being His great commission to us in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. If we are going to effectively minister in the days in which God has called us now to live, we as a body of believers need to be growing in His grace. We need to be grounded in His truth and therefore able to go forth in love and share the good news of the gospel. We gather each week, Sunday after Sunday, and on Wednesday evenings, that we might come and study the Word of God. Through that study, we are able to do those first two things, which is to grow in grace and understand more of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the more that we know Him, the more we will love Him. And as we love Him more, it's going to lead naturally to us desiring to serve Him with all of our heart. We come and we study the Word of God that we might be grounded in the truth. Because there are many winds of doctrine that exist within our world. There are many who are teaching false things and they come upon us so easily and we become bombarded with them. And we as God's people need to be grounded in the faith that was once delivered unto us. And therefore able to go forth into this world that we might serve Him. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, as we talked about being grounded in the truth, we're reminded that there are many who seek to spoil us through vain philosophies and through traditions of men. We need to be growing. We need to be grounded that we might be able again to take the good news of the gospel to those who are lost. All around us there are souls that are lost and dying. They've never heard the wonderful news that Jesus is their answer. That He is the one who can save them from their sin. And man needs the good news of the gospel to be presented unto him. And that which has been committed to us, we are to be taking to others as well and sharing with them. The reality that we must all now face is that although we can give assent to these truths, we can say, yes, we should be growing in grace, and yes, we should be grounded in the truth, and we understand that we should go forth and share the good news of the gospel. The reality is, although we give assent to that, we must now apply those truths and put those into practice in our own daily lives. We have to carry them out as a congregation. We must come that we might worship Him. We come and we exalt His name that we might be drawn closer to Him. That we would leave forth this place empowered by God with the gospel, taking every opportunity to share with those who need to hear. God desires that you and I grow in grace. That we be grounded in the truth, not drawn away by the winds of doctrines which come. And folks, there are many that are coming. I was talking to one of our men this week, and he was asking some questions about an area of doctrine. And I said, you know, that is an area of doctrine that had been asleep for a while. It is now rising again, and the debates are raging again in that area of doctrine, and many are being carried away. We as God's people need to be grounded in His truth and live according to the Word of God, that we might effectively minister in this day and age. This morning when we come to 2 Timothy 3 and also chapter 4, I want to see how we can minister according to our motto. Ministering according to our motto. Before we do that though, let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing. Then we'll consider this passage of Scripture together. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You today that we're able to come and gather together around the Word of God. Lord, we thank You that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce through the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, that it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We thank You that that Word of God is profitable. And Lord, we know it's profitable because it's the more sure word of prophecy, not given to us by the mind of men, but it was given to us by the will of God. And holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This book in all of its parts is inspired. And we thank You for the truths revealed to us in this word. Now, Father, we ask and pray that as we come to study it together, that You would help us to know how we can effectively minister according to our motto, and that we might be growing in grace, grounded in truth, going into this world in love, that others might hear and know and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin this morning to learn how we can minister effectively in our present world, I believe it's important that we acknowledge the days in which we live. We need to acknowledge the times. And as you come to 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he shares with his son in the faith what the days would be like in which he would minister. We all realize that as we come to 2 Timothy chapter 3, we are entering into a very personal letter. Paul is writing to his son in the faith for the very last time. He had ministered with Timothy from the time that Timothy was a youth and joined him on his missionary journeys. He had trained him in ministry. And Paul understood that his time upon this earth was coming to a close. He soon would depart and go and be with the Lord, but Timothy would remain. And he desired that Timothy would be able to effectively minister. So as he writes this letter, he shares with Timothy some characteristics of their time. Timothy, this is how the days will be upon which you will minister. And you need to be aware of that so that you can continually, effectively preach the Word of God and minister in your day. I want you to see with me, according to the passage, some characteristics of our time. Paul writes, beginning in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Now I want you to jump down, if you would, with me to verse 13. Paul writes and says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Paul writes to Timothy and he begins to share with him the characteristics of the day in which he would minister. Paul understood that there was a responsibility for all believers, that we would be faithful stewards of the gospel. Matter of fact, as you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, there's that very familiar passage which says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." God desires that all of us who have been entrusted with the gospel would be faithful stewards, that we would faithfully serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, all of us only have so much time upon this earth. The Bible says the average span of a man's life is 70, 70 years. We only have so much time. That's why the psalmist would say in Psalm 90 verse 12, Lord, teach us to number our days. You and I don't know how many days we have upon this earth. We don't know how many years we will live. But this I do know, that at the end of my life, I will stand before the Bema Seat of Christ, and there I will give an account. And God desires for me and for all of you that He would be able to look upon you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Paul would write to the church of Ephesus and remind them to see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Each one of us must learn to use our time in this pilgrimage well. We need to be faithful and effective in our ministry. In order to do so, we need to understand the world in which we live. And as you read through 2 Timothy chapter 3, you'll find the characteristic of our day. And those things which we read, we see very much as a part of our society and the church today. The first thing that we find is simply this. This world is going to get worse in its iniquity. The world will wax worse and worse in its iniquity. Paul writes to Timothy and he helps him to understand that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. Folks, you and I begin to look around in our world today, and it's not hard to see that things are not getting better. Our morality is not increasing, it is decreasing. That which was once considered to be something that we wouldn't speak of, we now publish and we talk about openly and we almost promote. This world upon which we will live is going to wax worse and worse in its iniquity. It is plunging deeper and deeper into sin. We are becoming more and more desensitized to the issues such as violence and immorality in our culture. The philosophies of this world are steeped in the degenerate thoughts of men. Our world is not getting better. We are not seeing victory over sin, so to speak. We see sin ever increasing. The base of morality has been, again, declining. That which was once obscene is now acceptable. The fabric of our society, the family, is no longer considered important. In fact, we are trying to redefine what the family is. We are seeking to say that a family is no longer a husband and a wife united by God. We are now giving benefits to people who choose to cohabitate together, and we call them family. Well, what we should say is it's sin in the eyes of Almighty God. The fabric of our society is being quickly eroded away. And Romans chapter 1 gives us the reason for that decline. We're not going to turn there this morning and read through all of that together. But if you read through Romans chapter 1, you're going to find that the reason for the decline in our society is that men have rejected God. It used to be that in North America, we would refer to places like Canada and the United States as Christian nations. I don't think I'd say that anymore. I'm thankful for the Christian heritage that exists behind us, but we no longer function according to Christian principles. The very fabric of our society is eroded away because men have rejected our God. And when man turns from God and rejects Him, he chooses a course bound for destruction. You and I have to recognize that this is the world to which we minister. These are the ones to whom we are trying to pluck from the depths of depravity. We are seeking to bring the good news of the gospel to. And as you and I minister in our day, there is no longer that foundation that we once had. That means it's a lot harder, folks, to get someone to see that they are lost. Because many don't believe that what they're doing is sin. It once was considered obscene. It is now considered acceptable. So what's wrong with it? Society says it's okay. Folks, you and I have to be aware of that. We are ministering in a society that is getting worse and worse, deeper and deeper in its sin. No wonder why it's so important then that we as God's people would grow in grace. No wonder why we would say that we need to be growing in our knowledge of Him. That's why it's so vitally important that we be grounded in the truth. Folks, that's why it's so important that as we grow and are grounded, that we go forth into the world in love. Because the world around us is overrun by sin and iniquity. They are getting worse and worse. And evil men and seducers will continue to get worse the further we move away from our God. I want you to turn now to chapter 4. Because there's another characteristic of our day. Excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 1. And read down with me to verse 4. Paul writes to Timothy and says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Here's the reason why. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heed to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. As if the first characteristic of our day isn't bad enough, that the world's going to wax worse in its iniquity. Paul said to Timothy, there's another characteristic that you need to understand. And the sad reality, folks, is this. The church will wane in its influence. Paul writes and says, Timothy, you need to continue to be faithful. You need to continue to preach the word. You need to be instant in season, out of season. You need to continue to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Because, Timothy, there's the days coming where men won't endure doctrine. And instead of staying grounded in the truth, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they will turn from the truth and go after fables. You look around in the world today, and you look at the church today, and you find many who are no longer willing to endure with sound doctrine. We have entire movements that move us far from the truth and the doctrines of the Word of God. As the world sinks deeper and deeper into the sin, the church should be able to have a greater impact because the difference would be so evident. Yet the reality is that the church seems to just lag behind the world just a little in the areas of sin and depravity. Paul foresaw the problem that the church would no longer endure sound doctrine. So he gives to Timothy this charge to him. Because, folks, Christianity today is going after its appetites and not after the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and sound doctrine. The evidence of such thing is clearly seen today. We have seeker-sensitive churches that seek to please as many people as they possibly can. They entertain, but don't edify. There are other churches that want to do away with sound preaching and teaching. They would prefer to meet as cell groups in which leaders guide a group through discussions on Bible passages or Christian books. Here we seem to be more interested not in the sure word of prophecy being proclaimed, but we seem to be more concerned about the ideas of men. So we meet in our little cell groups and we get together and we say, "What do you think the passage means?" Folks, I'll be honest with you, it really doesn't matter what everyone thinks the passage means. What we need is the "Thus saith the Lord." God said it's through the preaching and the foolishness of preaching that men would be edified. It says the word of God is proclaimed in truth. Years ago, a statement was said to me. It's one I love. You'll hear me repeat it from time to time. The church's responsibility is to preach the word of God as it is to men as they are. We are to preach the truth of God's word. We're not to just simply pull the ignorance of people and say, "What do you think it means?" Well, how do I read that passage? Remember, we just took a whole time to study how to study the word of God. And studying it according to context and coming and allowing the word of God to tell us what it says. Not us telling everybody else what we think it says. But folks, we have whole movements today that we want to do away with the proclamation of his word for everyone just to get together and just have a discussion. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with Bible study, but we can't subvert what God has said it ought to be. We have churches today that seek to elevate academia and show off their extensive knowledge, yet they leave out the most important part, which is application. Can I remind you that we study the Word of God for the extent purpose that it would impact the way we live? It's not knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's knowledge that we might know him, that we might be changed and conformed to his image, that we would be like Christ. Not just to continue on as we've always been. God would have us to understand the importance of coming together and studying the Word of God. But you and I need to be aware that we live in a day in which the world is getting worse and many churches are waning in its influence and no longer able to impact the society around them. So the question is, what do we do? What do you and I do that we might be able to effectively minister in the day and age that God has called us to live? To minister according to the motto. Well, we have taken the time, first of all, to acknowledge the time in which we live. But I think, secondly, the passage gives us the understanding that we must accept our challenge. See, Paul writes to Timothy and gives to him challenges that he might effectively minister in his day. Paul has drawn some conclusions, and we might be tempted to think that from these conclusions, there's not much hope. Folks, there is hope if we live according to the Word of God. I want you to see with me these challenges this morning before we close. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to look with me at verse 14 and 15. Right after Paul would talk about the day and age of men getting worse and worse, he says in verse 14 to Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Paul's first thought to Timothy was simply this: "Timothy, reflect upon your heritage. In order to effectively minister in this day, we must be willing to reflect upon the heritage that we have been given. And Paul reminds Timothy of the wonderful spiritual heritage that he had enjoyed. As we consider the truth that things around us are getting worse, and we're reminded of this wonderful truth, we have been given a godly heritage. We are challenged then to continue in that heritage. What a wonderful blessing it is that we can look back and remember those who brought us to the gospel. We can remember those in that day in which we first accepted Jesus Christ. Maybe you have the wonderful blessing like I have. I have the wonderful blessing to be brought up by godly parents. And I can look back and I can know of my grandparents who knew the Lord. And I have the blessing to be able to go back and have known my great-grandparents who knew the Lord. It's a wonderful joy to consider the heritage, to remember that there were those who had gone before me. There were those who were concerned enough to share with me the gospel. Not only in my family, but within my church. I can look back and I can remember my Sunday school teachers. I can remember my junior church workers. I can remember my, we didn't call it Master Clubs, but our Master Clubs teachers. I can remember my youth pastors and my youth workers. I can think of my pastor. And I can think of the men that served on a staff and those who would come and put their arm around me when I failed. There's a godly heritage to be remembered. I have one and so do you. Now yours might be a little shorter, but you have that heritage. There was that day that someone came to you and shared with you the gospel. There was that day when you were first saved. And Paul would encourage us to continue on, to reflect upon and remember that day in which you were saved. Do you remember that excitement? Do you remember that joy? Do you remember what it was like that you couldn't help but tell everyone around you what Jesus did for you? Where did that go? Where does that go? Paul says, Timothy, remember, reflect upon your heritage. Others, by the grace of God, have taken the time to instruct you and disciple you. You have been brought to the point that you are today. Be thankful for that heritage and continue on in it. Many have been given the same blessing. Yet it's sad to me to see how many are so quick to throw away the heritage that God has given. We throw it away for fun. We throw it away for the sake of friendships. We throw it away for frivolity and foolishness. But we're so quick to throw it away. Paul says to Timothy, reflect upon that heritage and continue in the things that thou hast been taught and instructed. Timothy, because the world around you is getting worse, and others in the church, they won't continue faithful. Timothy, I want you to be faithful. Remember, reflect upon your heritage. Then he leads them to verse 15 through 17 and says, rest upon the scripture, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What's going to help you and I minister effectively today? In a world that's getting worse and worse, where others won't endure sound doctrine, folks, you and I need to come back and rest upon the Word of God. We have to be willing to come and build our lives upon this book. Many today want to set aside the Word of God. Many are going after the theologies of men, and at the same time forsaking the truth of God's Word. But it's only the Word of God that truly profits. It's the Word of God that makes a man wise unto salvation. It's the Word of God that is beneficial for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's the Word of God that truly furnishes us unto all good works. It's the Word of God that's inspired of God and not written by the will of men. It teaches, it convicts, it corrects, it guides, it perfects, and it equips. We need more than ever in this day and age to rest upon the Word of God. This is why we talk about the importance of right interpretation. Folks, it's why we must grow in grace and be grounded in the truth. It's the Word of God upon which we can rest and build our lives upon. It's an anchor in the times of storm. In the midst of life's turbulent seas, it's the Word of God to which we can anchor our soul. It's that which it becomes a heel and a balm to our hearts when we ache and we're in sorrow. It's the Word of God that brings comfort and joy. We need the Word of God and rest upon it. Many are forsaking the sound doctrine and going after the things of this life. It's been well said that the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Folks, we need to be resting upon the Word of God. But in chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, Paul also gives Timothy this charge. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The third thing that Paul challenges Timothy with and us with is this. In the day and age in which we live, it's important that we revitalize our ministry. We need to revitalize our ministry. I've said it before in other settings, but let me say it again. Many who are serving the Lord today are being overcome by discouragement. Many today are finding themselves weary in well-doing. Their hands are hanging down. Their knees have become feeble. And it really doesn't matter how long you've been serving the Lord or how short your service has been. All of us can become disheartened. All of us can become discouraged. I can remember a time shortly after ending their ministry. As I saw things taking place around me, I kind of asked myself the question, is this what ministry is all about? Is this what I signed up for? Is this what I've given my life for? This? Now you begin to look sometimes and you begin to wonder. Now 15 years later, I've come to learn that very little has changed. People really haven't changed all that much. In fact, the only changes that I tend to see are that things aren't getting any better. But folks, God has called us to faithfully minister. God has called us to take the Word of God as it is to men as they are. And folks, I'm thankful that God met me where I was. And God still meets me today where I am. Because I'm not perfect and neither are you. We all need to be growing in grace. We all need to come back to the Word of God and be grounded in truth. We all forget the responsibility of going into this world. But God graciously and gently comes to us where we are and ministers to our needs. So Paul said to Timothy, hey Timothy, you see all that's going around you. Don't become discouraged in ministry. Pick up your hands and strengthen your feeble knees. Let's serve God. Revitalize your ministry. That which keeps us going in ministry is simply the truth that there is much work to do for the Lord. Folks, it's He that has called us to this work, and all He asks is that we be faithful. I'm glad for that. What's required of me as a steward is that I be found faithful. I accept that. All I have to do is be faithful and minister as God would have me do. I'm not responsible for the sins of others. I'm not responsible for their foolishness or their frivolity. It is not for my glory that things are done. The only reason that we do this is for the glory of God. We're not looking for the praise of men. We're not looking to bask in our accomplishments. To Him be glory, both now and forevermore. If you're feeling a little down, it's time, folks, to rise up and begin to revitalize that ministry and serve God again. There is always something more for us to do. The best remedy for discouragement in ministry is service. Idleness is still the devil's workshop. So it's time to revitalize that ministry. If you have nothing to do in the church, it's time to find something to do. The people who don't find something to do in the church tend to be the people who complain. Tend to be the people so discouraged by things not going on. Well, God bless your soul. Get to work. Because there's nothing better, folks, than serving Jesus Christ. You can have your money, you can have your homes, you can have your cars, you can have your vacations. I'll take serving God any day. Because I feel sorry for the people who sit and bask in their riches and miss out on serving God. Because moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves will break through and steal. But spiritual blessings last forever. I'm smart enough to realize that eternal is better than temporal. I may be poor today, but we can be rich tomorrow in Christ. I'd rather have His blessing, and I'd rather hear Him say, well done, than have seen the world. I'll get to see it one day. I'm going to be here for another 1,000 years one day. Maybe then I'll get to travel. But right now, He's called me to serve. Hasn't He? Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, be instant in season, out of season. Revitalize your ministry. One final thought and then we're done. Verse 6. Paul writes, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Here's the final challenge. Rehearse your testimony. Paul said, Timothy, I want to remind you again of what God has done for me. I want to remind you of the example that I've laid before you. Timothy, you have walked with me. You have ministered with me. You have seen me. You know this to be true. I have fought a good fight. Timothy, I have now finished my course. And through it all, I kept the faith. Timothy, God's going to reward me someday. And He will you as well. Folks, what we need today in order to be effective in our ministry is being willing to share that which God has done with us, to us, with others. I come to this passage of Scripture and I can't help but apply it this way. Mom and Dad, if you want your children to grow up and serve God, then share what God has done with or through you in service. How do you expect them to serve the Lord if they don't ever see mom and dad serve? If they don't hear the good things that God has done? If they don't understand the blessing? Grandmom and grandpapa, you want your grandchildren to continue to be faithful? Then tell them what God has done. Do they know your testimony? Do they understand the day that you were saved? Have they seen God's work in your life? Has it been recorded for their prosperity? It should. Folks, I can honestly go back and wish and say, my grandparents are gone, except my grandmother. But I don't know. Really, they're salvation testimonies. I know they were saved. I'm sure somewhere along the way it was shared, but not often enough for me to be that familiar with it. Not often enough that I could tell you their salvation testimonies. I had a blessing to know my great-grandparents, but I can't tell you their salvation experience. I wish I could. I wish I could take that and now hand it to my children and say, you are a line of a generations of those who have known the Lord. And I want you to know their testimonies. Because, folks, the gospel started with my great-grandparents. They were the first in my family to be saved that we know of. What a blessing it would be to know of that heritage. You know, the Bible says in Titus 2, was mentioned this morning, that the older women are to teach the younger women, and the older men, the younger women, the younger men. You know, the reality is, our youth need to know from us what God has done. Folks, I've been in this church for 3 years. Some of you have been here for 30 to 40. First thing I asked when I came here was, can someone please give me a history of our church? We know it's somewhere. Someone wrote it up, and it's probably in a file. I went through all the files. Know where I found it? Jane Rowe gave me a copy of it. She says, Pastor, you can see that. You should know that. So I read it. I was thankful for it. Found some other copies along the way. But you know what? The generations to come want to know what God has done in order to rise up First Baptist Church. Paul said, Timothy, I want to rehearse with you the testimony. The saved need to share their testimony with the lost. Folks, we live in a day and age where this world is getting worse and worse, and the church is waning in its influence. But you and I need to accept the challenge and reflect upon our heritage, rest upon the scriptures. We need to revitalize ministry. It's time we serve. Now we need to rehearse our testimony with others. They ought to know. Those things are going to help us effectively minister according to our motto. It's going to keep us on track that we would grow in grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we'd be grounded in His truth and not be running after every new doctrine that comes our way. That we would then be able to go forth into this world in love and share with them the good news of the gospel that others might be saved. What a wonderful blessing we have to be part of the ministry, to be able to share the wonderful joy of telling others what Jesus Christ has done for us. The day and age in which we live isn't easy. By the way, it's never been easy for anyone who wants to serve God. But it can be blessed if we do it according to the Word of God. Let's pray.